The only time I ever need to adjust your levels is when you get, like, animated.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to, like, dull your shine, you know?
Please don't. Please just let me be who I am.
Blow out that mic.
Okay.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Ride Home Podcast. My name is Abby.
Hey, guys. It's Caitlin.
How are you doing?
I've been better.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to go into like a sensory deprivation room for a while and then like hug everyone.
We just saw Civil War. Mm-hmm. And I think we took a much needed break before recording this episode because we immediately upon leaving the theater were just sitting in silence in the car.
Mm-hmm.
For quite a bit, and I didn't even like start the engine of the car for a second.
Mm-mm.
And we were just burning in the Carolina sun, feeling a lot of feelings.
So much so that I started crying.
Yeah. So if that's any hint for what is ahead of you guys in our review, Civil War is directed by Alex Garland, which he is a British director, which mm-hmm. I think a lot of people I've been seeing online have been kind of like, a British person covering this kind of topic is interesting in the first place, but mm-hmm. you know, there have been some complaints about like a lack of accuracy of like the politics of it all, because like California and Texas would never link up.
Okay, I was like wondering about that. I was like, why California and Texas though?
Yeah. I enjoyed that it wasn't actually written and directed by an American, because I honestly enjoyed that perspective of like a foreigner looking in
mm-hmm.
to America, like viewing America from that lens.
Mm-hmm.
But also upon review of his IMDb, I'm a fucking huge Alex Garland fan.
Apparently so.
Like, I literally, I think on his entire IMDb, I saw two movies I haven't seen before, and all the ones that I have seen before, I absolutely loved.
Okay.
I even loved Men, which, like, nobody else did.
No one else did. You are alone on that.
Yeah. But, like, I just really appreciate him. I know there's some rumblings that he might be retiring, like he might be done with directing, which I hope is not the case. I hope he comes back and like makes more films, because I really think he is, I'm gonna say it, like he's one of our strongest working directors right now, and I would really be disappointed if he decided to move on from directing.
Okay, that's high praise coming from you. Especially,
you need to see Ex Machina, and I cannot believe your boy Oscar Isaac is in it.
What the fuck. Okay,
yeah,
well maybe we'll watch that tonight.
Yeah. You need to see it.
Okay. I can't wait to see it.
For those of you who haven't heard a two-part episode, we're going to do a brief kind of non-spoiler review mm-hmm. first, and then we'll give you a warning and we'll go into some more spoilers. So we know the movie was directed by Alex Garland. Mm-hmm. It was also produced by one of our favorite production companies, A24. Mm-hmm. Shout out A24 for...
Love you, BB.
Love you, BB. And can you give us a quick synopsis and cast list as well?
Mm-hmm. In a dystopian future America, a team of military-embedded journalists races against time to reach Washington, D.C. before rebel factions descend upon the White House. And it stars Kirsten Dunst, Wagner Moura, Kaylee Spaney, Jesse Plemons, Nick Offerman, and Stephen McKinley Henderson.
Which the lead is Kirsten Dunst.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is very superficial, like it has nothing to do with the movie,
mm-hmm.
but I really just appreciate how Kirsten Dunst is allowing herself to age.
Yeah, me too.
Because I feel like even some like A-list level actresses who are still in like big pieces and stuff like that, I feel like you can still tell that like they've had facelifts and mm-hmm. they've had injections, and it's just really refreshing to see somebody who was like a beauty queen of the 90s and 2000s mm-hmm. just like letting herself age.
Mm-hmm.
It's very refreshing, and I enjoy seeing her in so many like projects recently that are more like higher level than what we grew up obviously watching her do with like Bring It On and Spider-Man and stuff like that.
Yeah. I love it. I love to see it. And I think she is kind of a real one for that.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Shout out Kirsten Dunst. Mm-hmm. We love you. So I'm going to switch up my question for you because usually I say, what are your thoughts and feelings on this movie? I want to know, because we actually didn't discuss it, because I noticed you were crying in the car and I kind of looked at you like, are you okay? And your response was, well, I'll just save it for the podcast. So, Caitlin, what about Civil War brought you to the point of tears?
It was kind of a couple things all sort of coming together at once. The first and foremost was that I was extremely overstimulated.
Yeah,
because
I could tell.
We saw this in RPX, which has like enhanced sound and almost sort of like a surround sound sort of vibe to it. And there was a lot of shooting and shrapnel and bombing type of noises. Yeah. So there was like a lot of that. The movie kind of a little bit had the same effect on the audience that the journalists in the movie had.
Yeah.
And you feel like in the midst of all of this chaos and turmoil. And it really, I mean, like, I was sweating for most of this movie, like actively sweating. It was not hot in there. I was just like so nervous. And on top of all of those like sensory things, it was just a really heavy topic.
Yeah.
Especially with the election coming up.
Yeah.
Things are already sort of tense and weird right now. And it's very different than how it was with the first election in 2016.
People are kind of, we're like ignoring it actively.
Yeah. And it's just like things are kind of like darker. And I think the movie was dark and it just felt a little too close to home in some ways. Like, I think for me, like in that moment when we left the theater and there was just like stillness and quiet, it was just really, I don't know, I just felt really overwhelmed with a lot of emotions. I felt just kind of like shaken up and just thinking about everything and how we as a country have gotten to the point that we're at.
Yeah.
And what a fucking think piece.
It really
this
is.
This movie is.
Yeah. I texted a group chat of my friends after, and literally I said, like, I don't want to be that guy, but I feel like this should be mandatory viewing for an American right now. And I think what's really interesting about this is that because it comes from a British director, there is that kind of bird's eye view of this situation that allows it to be more universal. And it's not a political statement, because we genuinely don't know even what side is representing what type of political party in today's two-party landscape. So I think why I said like it should be mandatory viewing is that whoever you are and whoever you side with in these upcoming elections, or just in general, seeing this movie and witnessing a very hyper-realistic version of what would happen if a large civil war broke out in America is eye-opening. You know how people say that, like, Handmaid's Tale feels a little too close to home? Compared to Civil War, Handmaid's Tale feels like a complete, like, fairy tale.
Yeah. It feels like complete fantasy.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it was about this movie that was like so unsettling to me, is that it really didn't feel that fake.
No, it didn't.
And it also feels like if things continue the way they have been for the past 8 years, whatever, that could happen one day. And it's like everyone just needs to take a seat, literally watch this movie and think about it. Like, is it really worth it? Is it worth it to you for the things you believe in and the things you want to stand on both sides? I'm not calling out one party here. Like you said, what I can really appreciate about this movie is that it's not from an American's point of view. So the politics are completely removed, because like you said, Texas and California would never band together.
And also, in any like world. Florida has its own alliance, which like in today's world, it would be Texas and Florida together. That sense of it being not really real almost helped, because you could get into like the meat and bones without thinking like, oh, well, they're the Democrats for sure,
right?
You
and
know,
that was really smart on his part, and obviously intentional to keep it vague.
And I also think that not only is the perspective of a British director really important, but also the perspective of, instead of this being about soldiers, this movie is about journalists and it's about the press. And it's following along with this group of war photographers who are basically trying to get to the president to be the last interview that we can get with the president, because it's pretty apparent that, like, things are going south for him. And so they want to get to DC and interview the president. I think that perspective as well felt so different from other quote-unquote war movies, because when you're watching a war movie, there is always, like, a hero. And so you're rooting for one guy to kill the other guy. And in this movie, all of the battle sequences, you don't have anyone to root for. So you're just watching two humans kill each other brutally and bleed out. And that's another thing, is like, Alex Garland does not shy away from very realistic modern war being told in such, like, a brutal, graphic way. But I feel like that's so important, because it's like, is that really what we're going to do to each other?
Another aspect of this movie that I feel like really drove the points home and made it feel so real were the characters and the acting.
Yeah.
All of the characters felt so real and so relatable and so genuine.
I really do agree with the acting, and I think especially Kirsten Dunst. Is it Kirsten or Kirsten? Kirsten?
Kirsten?
We'll just go with Kirsten.
Kirsten.
We should know this. We're like 90s babies. Know. But she was incredible in this movie. And I feel like you completely forgot that it was her.
Yeah.
She became her character. And I know I saw an interview with her, which I posted to our social media, about how her first piece of preparation for this movie was that she wanted the camera that her character was used to using so that she could basically feel like that camera is like second nature to her.
Okay.
And to like hold it like a real
so
camera.
Method yeah. Her. Yeah.
But like, you can tell that she put a lot of preparation into it, because she feels like a photographer, and she feels like that worn, weathered, stoic journalist. And I thought her performance was just absolutely incredible. I had a couple of issues with Walmart Pedro Pascal.
Okay.
I don't know his name. Wagner.
Wagner Moore, I think is his name. Yeah.
He was a little manic. And I know that that's probably what his character was supposed to be. He was carrying around like a bottle of alcohol the whole time. I think he's very clearly an alcoholic, like chain smoker. His deliveries sometimes took me out a little bit. But I think across the board, besides that, you know, everybody was really good. And I won't go too into detail about the scene, but Jesse Plemons was fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
He is in one scene, and that one scene is absolutely horrifying to watch. So I completely agree with you that the acting was incredible.
Yeah.
I think the hero of this movie, besides the acting and direction, is the sound. I truly, truly, truly believe this is probably heading towards like a sound nomination possible win.
Yeah.
Because the sound was almost its own character in that movie. It played such an important role. It's very visceral, and the way he plays with silence is also extremely important. And I just, I hats off to the sound design and just his directing choices with the sound design together, because I thought it was just masterful.
On the subject of masterful, I would also like to talk about the cinematography.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the cinematography was set up to look like photographs.
Yeah.
And while it was obvious and kind of blatant, it wasn't like a hidden theme or anything at all.
I mean, they are photographers.
They are photographers. Yeah. But I felt like it was really cool not to journalists, to photography.
Yeah.
And the more time and I have to kind of really process this movie, the more things I like about it and the more things I appreciate about it, because it's sort of, I don't know, it's kind of a slow burn. I mean, and that's a weird thing to say, because it really goes ham.
Yeah.
But like, from start to finish, is sort of a slow burn because there's just a lot of things that just sort of are in your subconscious, I feel like, mm-hmm. with imagery and sound and things that are just kind of put there that stick there. And then like you just sort of
unpack it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this one's going to be unpacked for a while.
I think when you're watching it, there is a brief moment of, well, this is not really what I was expecting, because I think the way that the trailer played out, it was more of like an action adventure, like, yeah. you know, these journalists are trying to rush to DC and like, you know, these
on the front lines.
Yeah. yeah. But there are these quiet moments within the movie where things are pretty slow and they and they are watching these journalists process what they're going through. And also there is the interesting element, which I've thought of this before. These people who exist in real life, who go on the front lines of war to report things that are happening, are the only reason why the rest of us know what war is and the toll of war. And there are very famous war photos that we've all grown up seeing. And the shots in this movie where, you know, there's an active battle scene and it cuts to a photograph of what is happening was so powerful, because like we've seen those moments. Like we've seen the guy standing in front of the tank. We've seen that shot from Vietnam of the guy getting shot like point blank in the head. We've seen these war images that have, you know, been in our history books and that we've grown up just kind of like immortalized in our heads. And seeing those actually played out in real time and then seeing the photograph makes those real photographs way more terrifying to look at. Like I was thinking about those pictures. Those are real, like real people in real moments. And and seeing it broken down like that was so artistic and dark, but also beautiful. It was just, it was a really impressive design from start to finish.
For me, like you said, it kind of just harkened back to things just from our lifetime that I've seen photographs of, like 9/11 and, you know, school shootings and mass shootings and things like that.
Even just like riots.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And it's things like that where it's just like, this movie was fake. Like, this movie was fake, but it felt like real, and it felt like it captured so many different aspects of our culture and our history. Anyways, I am just still processing this movie, and I feel like I need more people to see it.
So you can talk about
it. So we can talk about it.
This is definitely one of my favorite movies that I've seen this year. And we can very clearly both say large popcorn,
100% right? Large popcorn.
Large popcorn, and it is something that no matter what your political preference is, no matter what your religious preferences, your age, like truly I feel like this is something that like every adult should see. I highly suggest seeing this movie and just taking it in for what it is, and again, like checking your personal bias at the door. It is not a political movie. It's a very human movie
for sure.
And I mean, hell, our audience that we were with was a very eclectic group. And so I think like it was, I enjoyed seeing that like there were that many people who were seeing it that were very visually, like you could spot like who was carrying their gun.
There was a little bit of everything. There was some definite gun carriers.
Yeah.
And gun owners. Yeah, for sure.
And there was the lady behind us who literally said, "Did Biden let them film in the White House?"
Stop.
You didn't hear her?
She did not.
She did. So with the scenes in the White House, she leans over to her husband and goes, "Did Biden let them film in the White House?"
Get out of here.
Man, living in South Carolina is a trip. Yeah, she was so upset.
Sweetie, that's not the real White House.
That's a fake White House, baby girl.
Sweet, sweet Denise. Denise.
Welcome back, everyone, to the spoiler portion of the episode. From now on, we will be talking about things that might be a spoiler for you if you plan on seeing this movie and haven't yet. I just need to unpack the final photograph that comes into it, like, develops on screen as the credits are playing. And that picture, which is the military people who end up killing the president at the end of the movie, smiling with his dead body, it like punched me in the gut because American soldiers take pictures like that every day overseas.
Policemen here in this country take pictures like that.
Right.
Also,
obviously, we don't really see Nick Offerman that much. Nick Offerman is a president. We don't really see him. We don't know his political party. We don't know anything about him, really. We just know that they do briefly compare him to, like, Mussolini in one thing. So we can guess that he's not a good guy.
Right.
But at the same time, just because someone's a good guy doesn't mean you take a picture with them like they're a fucking deer that you shot in the woods.
Yeah.
And that's what really stood out to me, to end the whole movie on that photograph. I just kind of sat there, like, because it starts off out of focus and you can't really tell, and you have to sit there a while in the theater for it to come fully in and, like, develop onto the screen. And I was just sitting there like, oh my god, is that what I think it is? And then it comes into focus and you see their big smiles standing over, literally, it's like a trophy kill in Africa, but it's the president. And you think about, like, that foreign perspective that, like, Alex Garland is bringing in, of kind of just, like, exposing our culture for how celebratory of violence it is.
Yes.
Where instead of it being a somber moment of, like, we just overthrew the government and killed the president of the United States, it's like, fuck yeah, boys, we killed the president, you know? And, like, and what I thought was really interesting was that, again, he was really smart in choosing soldiers from very different social, racial, gender, like, backgrounds, so that those soldiers that are standing over the body of the dead president at the end kind of represented this, like, American flag of people.
Yeah.
And I was just like, whoa.
Yeah, because it was, like,
punched me in the gut, dude.
It's anyone's guess who these people are and what they represent, but it was a very guttural way to end the movie.
Like, what a way to end it. And again, a lot of the people who, right when the credits started and picked up their popcorn, threw it out and left, like, a lot of people missed it. But that, honestly, like, that was one moment that, like, I just sat there, and that's why I left feeling so, like, heavy, because it really was just this, like, tapestry of America standing over a dead president in the Oval Office. And I was just like, holy fuck. Like, this is, it was a lot.
It was a lot. And I want to restate what you just said, because it almost made me cry again when you said it. You said celebratory of violence. That is arguably one of the least attractive qualities of our country at this time in history. And
at all times.
All times in our history.
America, literally, from its beginning, was violent.
Yeah, and it's just, like, I hate it. And it's just, like, I think maybe another reason why more people should watch this movie, because it's like, is that really what you were about?
Right. And I think one of the most violent scenes in the movie was the scene that I was mentioning before with Jesse Plemons, which I think is arguably the only scene where we kind of know where they stand.
Who's who.
And what's interesting is that we don't actually know what force he belongs to. We don't know if he's like the Florida Alliance, the Western Forces, which are Texas and
California.
And then there is the rest of America, which is still like the United States. From the equipment that they have, we can tell that the Western forces aren't just a civilian uprising. Mm-hmm. You can see that like factions of the U.S. military have split into two and are fighting each other.
Uh-huh.
They are very clearly in like a West Virginia or Pennsylvania area.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse Plemons is there.
Mm-hmm.
And he is fucking terrifying.
So creepy.
And then he judges them based on what state they're from, mm-hmm. basically. One of the journalists is from Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's going around asking everybody where they're from, he says Hong Kong. And like without thought, Jesse Plemons just goes, China, and then shoots him like point blank.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of guess based on that where Jesse falls in like our current landscape.
Uh-huh.
But I would argue that he's probably the only person in the movie that you can like pinpoint exactly like that is, you know,
where he stands
exactly
and how he fits into our current landscape for sure.
But also when I said that there are no heroes and you weren't really rooting for anybody, the only time I was rooting for somebody was when Sammy fucking blasts out of the background with the truck and just like pow slams into Jesse Plemons,
mm-hmm.
because he's like this old guy that's like tagging along, he's overweight, and they're like, well, why don't you hang back, you can't run, like whatever. And they've been putting him down about his age this whole time, mm-hmm. and then when this dude is literally like trying to execute them and has executed one of them, him just like coming through with that truck, especially him being like an older black man, was just a really like satisfying way to end that scene.
Yes.
And I just think like that scene in particular just like stands out to me.
I was going to say like every other place they went in the movie, it was like, oh, we're the press, and everyone was like, oh, okay, like you're good. And like Jesse Plemons was the only one that was like, fuck off.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck who he's
like,
are.
I literally don't give a fuck. I just thought that scene was terrifying, and also was kind of, you know, Alex Garland had this very bird's eye view, but I feel like he just like quickly did like a quick little spotlight, like he did a quick little zoom focus,
and then you have the crazy ones,
and then and then he came back out. But yeah, that scene was a lot
something else. The only real like spoiler that I want to talk about is pretty much just about Lee, which is Kirsten Dunst's character. She, like you said, is clearly a woman who has seen and heard and been through a lot,
mm-hmm.
particularly as it pertains to what she does, you know, her career as a photojournalist. So there's this scene really early on where you get sort of a glimpse into her psyche, I guess,
mm-hmm.
where she's in the bathtub and she's having flashbacks of traumatic war scenes and things and places that she's been and photographed. And you kind of get a sense of who she is, where she's been, sort of thing.
And that she's not immune to what she's experienced.
Exactly.
Which is important.
Which is important because she does kind of present as sort of like a tough, like hard ass, but then also has these little moments where she's trying to protect this young photographer whose character's name is Jesse.
Yeah.
And she's like protective of her, but also like, please stay away from me,
mm-hmm.
which is like classic trauma. Like, it's like, I care about other people, but also I have got to protect myself.
Yeah.
And so she has this kind of tough exterior, but clearly has some softness under her. It's like one of those things where she kind of recognizes herself in this person and is like, oh, I have the power to like prevent her from becoming this and having to go through the shit that I've had to go through. And you see little moments of that all throughout the movie where she's like, I don't want her to come with us on this trip. And their relationship was really cool to me, and their whole development of both of their characters individually and together. Somewhere along the line, she loses Jesse to the excitement of it all.
Yeah.
Because Jesse is scared at first and very apprehensive and clearly very new to this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's little bits and pieces along the way where she gets these like adrenaline rushes, I think is what it is. And she's like, then she's kind of addicted to that sort of.
Which she's also learning from Walmart Pedro Pascal, who is that way, who is very like adrenaline, like let's catch the action, like let's get into it kind of thing.
Yes. And so she kind of falls into that. Mm-hmm. And you see as she's doing that, as she's going further and further into the action and risking her life multiple times in very dangerous situations.
She was starting to piss me off.
You see as she's doing that, Kirsten Dunst is starting to really unravel and kind of like crumble in on herself. And she's starting to really deteriorate, and it's really starting to wear on her. She's lost a lot of her colleagues in a very short span of time, and she's just completely wearing down. And then you have Jesse like going full fucking throttle into the heart of it all, and it all, that whole dichotomy of this whole relationship ends with Jesse risking her life,
being a dumbass
once again.
Which, like, I'm not saying that the character wasn't good. I thought they did a really good job with her character. But, like, they did such a good job with her character that I was fucking pissed at her.
Yeah. It's like the final girl in horror. Like, it's like you're pissed because they just keep doing dumb things. Like, leaving the lights off in the house. Like, it's just, like, stupid shit where you're, like, you're choosing this. Like, you're bringing this shit on yourself. So, anyway, she puts herself into a very precarious situation where it looks as though she's about to get shot or could be in the line of fire, and Kirsten Dunst runs in front of her to stop her. And while that's happening, she gets shot, and all you see are like four frames of Jesse taking her picture as she's falling.
No sound. Also
no sound.
Kirsten Dunst, I mean, for being photographed, she did such a powerful job staring into that camera, and like you can see almost like the acceptance of her death as it's happening. But I agree with you with the whole like unraveling of Lee's character, where there was a very specific moment, and it's kind of on the nose, and I think like it is a little specific, and they probably didn't need to do it as specific as they did. But she took a photo of Sammy after he bled out and died. And there's a scene where she's looking through her pictures and she sees the picture of Sammy dead in the car. And we have been set up to feel and believe that this Lee girl, who is Kirsten Dunst, will literally take a picture of anything. She'll take a picture of a man on fire. She'll take a picture of people blown up from, you know, a suicide bomber. She'll take a picture of whatever is in front of her. And for her to see that picture and then delete it, it felt like this moment of like
she's had enough.
Yeah, it's like I'm done with this. And so for her to not actually be a part of that final scene with the president was, I feel like it was really fitting, because I think Lee at that point would have been absolutely disgusted by that, whereas Jesse at this point would probably be like, all right, guys, stand in front of the president and take a picture.
I think it kind of, I mean, to be honest, I think that was the idea.
Yeah.
Because all of Jesse's photographs were in black and white because of the style of camera she was using. And that photo was in black and white. So I think that's what we were meant to believe, is that Jesse took that photo.
Which there is that moment at the car wash when Lee asked the guy to stand with the two kidnapped looters and was like, you know, stand there, stand in between them, I'll take your picture. And I think, you know, Lee had that moment of like replicating it. But there was also this really, it's just like really subtle things that happen in this movie that are so powerful. And there's this really cool moment where they're capturing a gunfight between, it's the dudes in like the Hawaiian shirts fighting with the soldiers, like in the like office building basically. And Lee is standing behind Jesse as Jesse is framing a picture. And it was really cool. As Jesse took the photo, Lee blinked. And so it was kind of like she found the frame at the same time that Jesse found it. And like took the picture, and I saw her blink, and I was like, man, that was really fucking cool. Like,
that's cool.
Like everything about this movie was at the same time like bombastic and in your face and overstimulating, but also so subtle and moving and also heavy. It was just like, it, I think it brought up so many emotions.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, how many movies make you cry like 10 minutes after you watched it?
Yeah.
You know?
I almost cried. I teared up a little bit in the scene when Sammy's dying and they're mm-hmm. in the forest that's like on fire. Mm-hmm. There was a moment that like my eyes welled up for sure. So it was something that like, you know, I'm not much of a crier and that sure. even like it got me for sure. So again, I'm going to say what I said at the beginning of this episode. Like, I feel like no matter where you stand in your politics, this movie is something that as an American adult, I feel like it is your job to see this movie.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. I think this is a must watch. Mm-hmm. Definitely one of my favorite movies of the year so far as well. And I feel, I'm just like fingers crossed. I don't know why. I feel like maybe we won't see a lot of this at the Oscars. Mm. Just for like political reasons.
Maybe.
Or maybe we will. Yeah. I am hopeful that we will because yeah. I think it's very deserving of accolades yeah. and appreciation. So
absolutely.
Fingers crossed we see this.
Yeah.
In the awards
circuit. Alex Garland, please don't stop making movies.
Yeah, just keep doing them.
Alex,
you're
getting,
you're like kind of getting better, in my opinion, based on what I've seen. So I haven't seen all of them.
They're all good.
I haven't seen all of them.
Well, that just about does it for us. I'm sorry if we got really heady with this one because it's just one of those ones that you kind of need to talk about in a more serious way than we typically do. But yeah. You know what? It is what it is.
It is.
It is what it is. I don't know when our next episode is going to be, so just follow along on our Instagram and we will post obviously once we figure out when that is. And until then, I hope you have a great week and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us on the ride home.